I love that song, Breakthrough is Coming. Hallelujah. Breakthrough is coming. It's going to take me a minute here to get my notes pulled up. God's good, isn't he?
Yes.
I think I already said that once. That's okay. How many of y'all, this is your first ladies' advance? The first one you've ever been to? Let me see your hands. Wow, a lot of newbies in here today. Let's give them a hand. Amen. You know, I was thinking, and somebody correct me, somebody that might know, I think this is our fifth year of doing these. Is that right? Is it the fifth year? This is the fifth one. So this is kind of a special one. So y'all are here at the special one. You got to excuse my computer. It's slow as molasses. Give me just a minute here. There it is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God does have a breakthrough for us, ladies. He's got a breakthrough for us. Let me get situated here and then I'll be ready. What? Yes, it does. It does. Hallelujah. Well, Father, I thank you for your word tonight, God. I thank you for just the opportunity to speak into these ladies' lives, God. I thank you that you are a good God. I thank you that you are a holy God. You are worthy in all of your ways, Lord, and we do worship and honor you tonight. God, we thank you for the opportunity to just be in your presence. Just be in your presence, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, as you know now, the theme of our night, the theme of this event is breakthrough. How many of you have a situation right now in your life where you need God to move? Let me see your hands. You need God to do something. You need God to speak. You need God to move something out of the way. And that's what a breakthrough is. Sometimes we build walls up around ourselves, and we need God to tear down those walls that we build up. And, you know, it could be in the area of finances. It could be in the area of relationships. It could be with our health. Maybe we need a physical healing in our body. And if you do need a physical healing, I can assure you we serve a God who still heals today. He still sets people free from bondage. He still brings breakthrough wherever and whenever people need it for whatever reason. God is a God of breakthrough. So I know we've had situations, and when I say we, I'm talking right now about my husband and I. We've had Sid, which he's here somewhere, but I'm not sure where. There he is back there. Everybody say hi, Sid. But we've had situations in our lives where we've needed God to move supernaturally. And years ago, we've been here for many, many years, but we are transplants. We are not Brookville born and bred. But years ago, when we first moved here, we lived in Vincennes, Indiana. Sid had a State Farm agency over there, and Vincennes was falling apart. Factories were closing. There was an oil refinery just across the river in Illinois, and it was closing down, and people were dumping houses on the market like there was no tomorrow. So the agent here, the State Farm agent here, was going to retire, so they offered Sid this agency. So we came and we looked around the town and decided, yeah, Brookville's a nice town. It's a place where we can live. And so we had just bought a house in Vincennes 6 months ago. We lived there for 3 years, well, 2.5 years when we bought the house. So 6 months prior to this, we had bought our first house in Vincennes. And so we decided we're moving to Brookville, and we'd only lived in that house for 6 months. So we decided we're moving to Brookville. We put that house on the market. It sold in 3 days, and in 6 months, we made a $6,000 profit off of that house, which was enough to put a down payment on the first house we bought in Brookville. And so, see, that's an example of God. That was a supernatural breakthrough in our finances. I mean, like I said, houses were being dumped on the market like crazy. There was no reason for that little, it was really kind of a little farmhouse kind of thing. There was nothing special about it at all. But God knew the need, and God brought the breakthrough that we needed. And then in another situation, very early in our marriage, We tried and failed for 4 years for me to conceive a child. Now, we're just going to get real personal in here right now. For me to conceive a child, 4 years we tried. 4 years, month after month after month. I was heartbroken. I was disappointed. I was all of these things. God finally did bring breakthrough, and the worship leader up here playing the guitar is the fruit of that. Where'd she go? Oh, there she is. We finally did get breakthrough, but we had to learn to walk by faith and not by sight in that situation. God didn't move in supernaturally and do what we were asking him to do. So, you know, like I said, month after month, just heartbroken, feeling forgotten by God, feeling rejected by God, you know, having all these emotions and all these things going on in my life. He finally brought breakthrough, but it did not come right away. But what God taught us through that is that we had to be faithful to God in the midst of our waiting. We had to be faithful to God as we waited for him to bring the breakthrough that we were asking for. So sometimes God brings supernatural breakthrough and provision, and sometimes we have to wait. But even if you have to wait, it's no less a breakthrough than if he brings it supernaturally, like just bam, he shows up. Because a lot of times it will be a sudden thing when you don't even expect it, you least expect it. So the word breakthrough itself, I look words up in the dictionary, especially if I'm going to preach, because I want to know a little bit about what I'm talking about. That's probably a good idea. But the word breakthrough itself means that there's some type of resistance. Something is resisting you. There's some kind of obstacle in your way. There's something that needs to be kicked down. Something that needs to be lit up, like that song we were just singing. But God wants to move. And so the dictionary definition of the word breakthrough is an act or instance of moving through or beyond an obstacle. The act of moving through or beyond an obstacle. I want you to think about what those obstacles are that are in your way tonight, and I want you to see yourself moving beyond the obstacle, moving beyond what the enemy has put in your way, moving beyond the roadblocks. How many of you are with me tonight? Say amen. Amen. We say amen in this church. Amen. Synonyms. I'm going to give you a quick English lesson. Y'all didn't know you were coming for an English lesson, did you? Synonyms for the word breakthrough include the word advance, to move forward in a purposeful way toward a destination. How many of you know God has a destiny for you? God has a plan for you. God has a chosen path for you. He goes before you, the Word of God says. The glory of the Lord is our rear guard, the Word of God says. So advance, to move forward in a purposeful way toward a destination. Another synonym for the word breakthrough is revolution. The forcible overthrow of a government or social order in favor of a new system. Maybe you need a revolution in the way you think tonight. Maybe you need to stop thinking the devil's thoughts and start thinking God's thoughts. Maybe you need a revolution in the way you see yourself. You need to, the current system needs to be overthrown in favor of seeing yourself the way God sees you. Amen? Amen? Come on, somebody. 1 Chronicles chapter 14, 10 and 11. I promise we won't be here more than another couple hours, so just sit back, relax, get another tea or lemonade. 1 Chronicles chapter 14, verses 10 and 11. It says, so David inquired of God. They were going to go to war. They were going to go to war with somebody. And it says, so David inquired of God, shall I go and attack the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hands? And the Lord answered him and said, go, I will deliver them into your hands. So David and his men went up to Baal Perazim, and there he defeated them. He said, as waters break out, God has broken out against my enemies by my hand. So that place was called Baal Perazim, which means the Lord of the breakthrough. That's what that word means. That's what that means. The Lord of the breakthrough, or the Lord who breaks out. I want to tell you something, ladies. God does not want you to stay stuck. No matter what your situation is, no matter what you're going through, God does not want you stuck in the junk, in the muck, in the mire. God does not want you stuck. Amen. Can somebody agree with me tonight? Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. It says, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey." That right there is a promise for breakthrough. I will take you out of the land that you're in. I'll take you out of all that junk. I'll take you out of your addictions. I'll take you out of your anxiety. I'll take you out of your depression. I'll take you out of whatever else might be going on in your life, and I will put you in the land that flows with milk and honey. I will put you in the land of my blessing. I will put you in the land where my hand is upon you. Come on, somebody. Listen, don't make me, listen. I'll go get a mirror out of my purse and I will hold it right here and I will preach to myself if I have to. That is a promise for breakthrough. But that was under the old covenant before Jesus came. How much more now that Jesus has come, how much more will he rescue us now? How much more will he deliver us now? We have a blood covenant with the Son of the living God. How much more will he take care of us now? See, God wants to move us into victory. He wants us to begin to understand that living in victory does not mean nothing bad ever happens. It does not mean that the enemy never attacks you. It does not mean that, you know, somebody don't gossip about you. My English is atrocious, I'm sorry. It does not mean any of those things. But God wants us to begin to understand that we can live a life of victory in him, and it is victory that has already been purchased. It was purchased on the cross. That's never going to change. That's never going to go away. Come on. He wants us to begin to understand that breakthrough is ours, not because we do everything right, but breakthrough is ours because of the finished work of the cross. Breakthrough belongs to us because of the cross. God is not up there choosing, okay, I'm going to bring breakthrough to this one, but I'm not going to bring breakthrough to that one. He gave us breakthrough at the cross. Amen. He gave it to us at the cross. That goes for every born-again believer. Now, if you're not born again, some of what I say tonight may not apply to you. But if you are born again, if you are walking with God, if you are living your life for God, if you have repented of your sin and turned away from your sin and asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, and you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, this applies to you. You are called to walk in victory. Again, it doesn't mean nothing bad is ever going to happen. It means we're able to walk through it in the midst of it. We're able to keep our head held high in the midst of it. We're able to trust God in the midst of it. Come on, somebody. I knew I should have made those signs. Who said that? Thank you. Oh, hallelujah. But God is not up there picking and choosing who he's going to give breakthrough to. He gave us breakthrough at the cross. The ones you see walking in it, walking in the breakthrough are the ones that are taking steps of faith toward a destination. They're moving forward, moving beyond their obstacles. And as daughters of God, breakthrough belongs to us. It's part of our salvation, just like healing is. It's part of our salvation. Breakthrough belongs to us. It's part of our inheritance. We're waiting for God to just swoop down and do this amazing supernatural thing in our life. And God's up there going, ladies, I've already done it. I've already done it. I've already done the most amazing thing I could ever do, and that's to send my son, Jesus Christ, to die in your place. I've already done it. And we're waiting for just, wow, this, you know, awesome, amazing thing. And God is saying, I've already done it. And listen, I know that the enemy has got some of you all facing some pretty significant battles. In a room this size, there's some significant obstacles in the way. And it could be financial, it could be physical, it could be in your marriage, it could be anything. And see, the enemy's desire for us is to sit in this prison cell of defeat, sit in a prison cell of rejection, sit in a prison cell of, oh, woe is me. How many know what I'm talking about? That's the devil's desire for us. And listen, I don't negate anything anybody in this room may be going through it right now, but I'm not here to talk about the hopelessness. I'm not here to talk about the rejection or the confusion or whatever else the enemy may be doing in your life. I'm here to talk about the answer. And the answer is Jesus. The answer is a deeper, more intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. That is the answer, ladies, and that's what we're here to talk about. He is the God of the breakthrough. And I'm telling you, in this room, there is a breakthrough with names on it. I'm telling you, Marilyn, there's a breakthrough with your name on it. Come on. Receive it. There is a miracle waiting to happen. There is a breakthrough with your name on it. No matter what is going on in your life, you've got to begin to understand that God is for you. He is not against you. He is for you in every way. I'm telling you, it's awfully quiet. You would think we were, you know, it's awfully quiet in here. It is awfully quiet in this church right now. Listen, the enemy tries to bring fear on us to paralyze us. But the truth of the matter is, because he knows if he can paralyze us, if he can make us be stuck, you know, and just paralyze us with fear, then he knows he's won half the battle right there. He's won half the battle. But the truth is, the enemy is afraid of you actually walking in your authority as a believer. How many of you know that as a believer, you have authority? Amen. As a believer, you have authority. It was given to you at the cross. When you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, authority was given to you. An anointing was given to you. Amen. The presence of God upon your life. But you know what? The enemy, he's scared to death. You're going to figure it out. And that's why he wants to keep you paralyzed. He doesn't want you to understand your authority as a believer. Because if you ever really get a hold of who you are, what's going to happen? If you ever really get a hold of who you are, you'll be able to stop that lying, scheming demon spirit in his tracks. You won't have to put up with his lies. You won't have to listen to him. You won't be subject to him anymore. Come on, somebody. So I've got a few things I want to share tonight. That was just my introduction. Oh, my goodness. Oh, mercy me. But I've got a few things I want to share that I feel like just things really that I've learned over the years, honestly, and just things that I believe with all my heart that if you'll begin to apply them to your life, and begin to apply them to your walk with God, not only will you get a breakthrough, but you will be able to keep your breakthrough. And then once you keep your breakthrough and you start walking in the power of your breakthrough, and you start walking in the authority of your breakthrough, guess what happens? You become a breakthrough for somebody else. And really, that's the ultimate right there. When we get to the point where our breakthrough becomes a breakthrough for somebody else. Come on, somebody. I'm talking truth to you tonight right here. Hallelujah. Number one, get a deeper, more accurate revelation of who Christ is, of who Jesus is, who the Son of God is. He loves each and every one of us so much. He's not up there just waiting for us to mess up so he can let us have it. That's not the kind of God we serve. If that's what you've been taught, I'm sorry, but you were taught a lie. He's not up there waiting for us to mess up so he can beat us over the head. God has literally made every aspect of himself completely available to us. All we have to do is reach out and take it. All we have to do is take those steps of faith and move beyond the obstacles. God has already done it. Every aspect of himself made completely available to us. Hebrews 1:3. Hebrews 1:3. I love this because it's really the definition of who Jesus is, and nothing says it more beautifully. The Son is the dazzling radiance of God's splendor, the exact expression of God's true nature, his mirror image. And see, that's why Jesus could say, if you've seen me, as he said it right in the Gospels, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Because everything Jesus did was representative of the Father heart of God for his people. Every person that was healed, every single person that had a demon spirit cast out of them, you know, the people who weren't received by the, you know, the Samaritans and the different, you know, how they weren't allowed to talk to each other and all that. And, you know, Jesus healed broken hearts. He restored people. He restored the hurting. He restored the lost. He redeemed the lost. Every single thing that Jesus did, all that is in the heart of God for his people. Listen, I want somebody to get a hold of something tonight. I want somebody to get a hold of something tonight. All that is in the heart of God for his people is brought to us through the person of Jesus Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Everything that's in the heart of God for his people, all that's in the heart of God. So who did Jesus show us that God is? What did Jesus do when he walked the earth? According to Luke chapter 4, like I said, he healed the sick, he cast out demons, he raised the dead, he restored the lost, the broken, and the hurting. He did all of these things. He did all of these things. He set captives free. I don't know about y'all, but I personally hear the sound of breakthrough in that. I hear breakthrough. Every person that gets healed, every person that's raised from the dead, breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough. Everywhere Jesus went, it was breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough for the people that he came in contact with. Amen? And so over and over again, we see the heart of God on display through the actions of Jesus as he brought breakthrough to people. And that's what he did everywhere he went, every town, every village, everything he did, he was bringing breakthrough because that's who he is. He is the God of breakthrough. Are y'all with me? Okay. He is the God of breakthrough. He is our healer. He's our shepherd, our protector, our provider, our peace, our joy. The Word of God says every good and perfect gift comes from above. He's all that we could ever need. I don't care what's going on in your life. He's all that you could ever need. Oh. And once we begin to get this deeper revelation of all that Christ is, we got to understand something, ladies. The death of Jesus on the cross and his resurrection from the dead positioned us for something. It positioned us for something. And once we get this deeper revelation, this revelation of all that Christ is and everything the cross positions us for, everything the resurrection positions us for, once we begin to settle the issue once and for all that God is who he said he is and he will do what he said he would do, then we can more fully begin to discover number two, know who you are in Christ. Know who you are in Christ. And that starts by coming into the understanding that the same anointing that was up on Jesus. Some people get upset when they hear somebody say that. But it's, you read your Gospels. Read the Bible. It's the truth. The same anointing that was upon Jesus is available to each and every one of us as his people. The same authority that he walked in has been made available to us. The same power that he walked in is available to him. Now, am I saying that we're all walking in it and we're all living in it? No, of course we're not. But it's been made available. And as we press into him, listen, you can hear somebody tell you over and over again, I can stand up here and tell you again and again till we're both blue in the face that God has a good plan for you, that everything works together for your good, that all of the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ, and every single one of those are true. But until you know it in your own heart, until you experience it in your own heart, you'll never fully walk out the truth of it. You'll never fully walk out the reality of all that Christ has done and all that we've been positioned for as his people. You know, if you want breakthrough, if you want to walk in the breakthrough that Jesus died to give you, you've got to come into agreement with what God says about you. You've got to begin to come into that agreement with what God says about you. You have to begin to come into agreement with the purposes of heaven for your life. Do you believe that God has a purpose for you? You have to begin to come into agreement with God. There is power in agreement. I'm not talking about agreeing for a new Cadillac or agreeing for, you know, $1 million. And I'm talking about coming into agreement with what God says you are, with who God says you are, coming into agreement with what the Word of God says about you. We need to stop listening to the lies of the enemy, and we need to start listening to God. And women are the world's worst. I'm just going to tell you right now. And I can tell you that because I can look in the mirror and say the same thing to me, to myself. The world's worst about believing the worst. We've got to come into agreement with who God is and the victory that the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ has already purchased for us, whether we see it in the natural realm or not. In the natural, your life might be in shambles. You might be thanking God. Thank God I get to get out of my house for a couple hours. Or you might be saying, thank God I'm going to get to go home in a few minutes. I don't know what you're thinking. I don't know what you're thinking. But all I'm saying is whether, you know, your life might be in shambles, but it doesn't change who Christ is. It doesn't change what he has done. It doesn't change the love he has for you. It doesn't change any of those things. Number three, throw off every weight. I told you I was going to give you some keys tonight. Oh. Throw off every weight. Hebrews 12:1 says that we need to throw off everything, strip off every weight that hinders us and slows us down, especially the sin that so easily entangles us and hinders our progress. And run with patience the race that God has set before us. Throw off every weight. Throw off those things that weigh you down. Throw off those things that bring that depression and that discouragement and that anxiety. Throw off those things. Get rid of those things. Move beyond those things. Move past those things. Come on, somebody. How do we do that? We start by giving it to God. We start by just laying it at the foot of the cross, laying all that stuff down. And what happens when we begin to give that stuff to Jesus? And listen, I know about giving something to Jesus and then, you know, I don't know, the enemy comes and whispers in your ear the next day, so you run back over there and you pick it up again and you weigh yourself down with it again. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about really giving it to Jesus. Giving it to him. And what happens when we begin to do that is a heaviness begins to be lifted. How many have ever felt the Holy Spirit just lift a heaviness off of you? A heaviness begins to be lifted. Peace begins to come. Peace begins to fill your heart. You know, Jesus is the Spirit of peace. He is peace. And that peace begins to come. Joy begins to come. And God breaks through. God breaks through into our situations. And when he breaks through, somebody's got to get this. When he breaks through, his presence comes. And in his presence is fullness of joy. Amen? Come on, somebody. And when he breaks through and his presence comes, anxiety begins to flee. Fear begins to flee. Depression begins to flee. When God breaks through, when God truly breaks through in our lives, there can be no darkness because he is light. And he is the Father of light. And the Word of God says, in him is no darkness at all. Come on, somebody. We got to get a hold of this. And you know, that's one way of knowing if you've truly given something over to God. Do you have peace? Or are you full of worry and doubt and unbelief? What rules your heart? What rules your mind? What rules your thoughts? Do you have joy? Or are you just full of discouragement and downheartedness and, oh, did I really wake up again today? There are some people that live like that. But as believers, as daughters of God, we don't have to live like that. We don't have to live like that. We've got to begin to understand this exchange that took place on the cross. It was a divine exchange. It was a supernatural exchange. And it took place at the cross. And basically what Jesus was saying when he died on the cross is he was saying, you give me, I'm sorry, I'm trying to decide how I want to word it. You give me your fear, give me your unbelief, give me your doubt, give me your worry, give me your anxiety. You give me all this stuff. And in exchange for that, I'm going to give you my peace. I'm going to give you my healing. I'm going to give you my provision. I'm going to give you everything I am. You bring to me all that you are, however broken, however battered, however beaten you may be. And I will give you all that I am. That was the divine exchange that took place at the cross. And we've got to begin to get a hold of this truth, ladies. We've got to begin to get a hold of this truth of all that Christ has done for us. All that he's done for us. Number four, fix your eyes on him. Fix your eyes on him. Let's see, what is my scripture verse on that? Hold on a second. Hebrews 12:2. Fix your eyes on him. It says, we look away from the natural realm. That means take your eyes off of what's happening in the natural realm. Look away from the natural realm and fasten our gaze onto Jesus, who birthed faith within us and who leads us forward into faith's perfection. His example is this, because his heart was focused on the joy of knowing that you would be his. He endured the agony of the cross and conquered its humiliation and now sits exalted at the right hand of the Son of God. See, Jesus set an example for us of what we should be focused on. He was focused on the joy of knowing that we would be his, knowing that he would bring redemption to mankind, knowing that we were no longer under the curse of the enemy, knowing that we would spend eternity with him. He was focused on the joy of these things. And in part, it's what gave him the strength to go to the cross to start with. He knew the power in what he was going to do. And see, we need to be focused on the truth of knowing, or the joy of knowing, that breakthrough is ours simply because we belong to him. Simply because the Lord of the breakthrough lives in me. Breakthrough is mine because the Lord of the breakthrough takes up residence within my spirit. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching to you right there, sister. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our breakthrough is bought and paid for in full. So we need to fix our eyes on him, because you know what? Our focus affects the direction that we go. How many know that? If you're driving down the street and you keep your eyes straight ahead, you're going to go straight ahead. But you get distracted and start looking to the left and the right, you're going to go in that direction. Our focus affects the direction that we go. It directly affects it. Our focus makes the difference of whether or not we walk in breakthrough or we walk in bondage. It makes the difference of whether or not we walk in faith or we walk in fear. It makes a difference of whether or not we walk in peace or we walk in that anxiety and that depression and all of that. Where is your focus? What are you focused on? What are you looking at? What do you set before you? Where is your heart? Come on, somebody. We got to start asking these questions. Romans 4 says that Abraham, in reference to having a son, you know, the story about Abraham and Sarah and how old they were, and he was promised Isaac, the son, and they were like 190 years old, and So, but listen to what Abraham said. It's in Romans 4. Abraham said that he knew that even though he knew his body was as good as dead, but even so, he was fully persuaded that God was able and that God would fulfill the promise. If you walk out of here with nothing else tonight, I want you to walk out of here praying, God, make me fully persuaded. Make it a prayer. Make me fully persuaded that you are who you say you are. You will do in my life what you have promised you will do in my life. Fully persuaded. Write those words down if you're taking notes. Fully persuaded. See, Abraham was fully persuaded. You want to know why? Because he was focused on the promise and not the problem. How many of us can say the same thing? We need to be focused on the promise and not the problem. Breakthrough will shift our focus. Now listen to me. Breakthrough will shift our focus, and shifting our focus will bring breakthrough. They work hand in hand. And that really goes for every single key or point, whatever you want to call them, that I'm giving you tonight. Breakthrough will shift our focus, and shifting our focus will bring breakthrough. Number five, understand your position in Christ. Are y'all still with me? Are y'all hot? You feel comfortable? Understand your position in Christ. Ephesians 1, 20 and 21 tells us that Christ was raised from the dead and is seated at the right hand of God in the heavenlies, far above all principality, authority, power, and dominion. See, God exalted Jesus above everything else by sitting him at his right hand. He exalted Jesus. It says his name is above every name. I don't care what kind of name they put on cancer. I don't care what kind of name they put on any other disease. I don't care what the name of anything is that you're going through. The name of Jesus is above it. The name of Jesus trumps it. The name of Jesus overtakes it. Amen, somebody. And so God exalted Jesus above everything else by sitting him at his right hand. The right hand is the place of honor. It's a place of authority. The right hand is the place of blessing. And so Ephesians 1 tells us that Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Ephesians 2:6 tells us that we are seated with him. And here's what it says. It says, God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. So we are seated with Christ at the right hand of God the Father. And we've got to understand, when Jesus sat down, it signified that his work for our redemption is complete. And if his work for our redemption is complete, his work for our breakthrough is complete. You don't have to beg God for a breakthrough. Breakthrough was yours the minute you received him as your Lord and Savior. We just have to learn to walk in it. We have to learn to walk it out. We have to learn to walk in the truth of what Jesus has already done. And what that means is he's already given you everything you need to live for him. All that you need to be who you're called to be has already been given to you. All that you need to do what you are called to do in him has already been given to you. The gifts are there. The anointing is there. The power is there. The authority is there. All that you need to live for God has already been given to you. And we need to understand that our circumstances and our situations are temporary. They come and go. Just about the time you get one situation taken care of, here comes another one. They come and go. They're temporary. But your position in Christ is eternal. And that's what we have to be focused on. That's what we have to be looking at. And not only is our position in Christ eternal, our identity in Christ never changes. It doesn't matter what you're going through. Your identity in Christ never changes. And the power that's in that, the authority that's in that, never changes. The Word of God tells us the whole reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. The whole reason he came. And we know the devil's work is to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil's work is to keep us held captive to the compromises we tolerate in our lives. The devil's work is to just do all these things, keep us held captive to fear, keep us in addiction, keep us, you know, in these this cycle of unbelief. But listen to this, Psalm 34:4, one of my new favorite scripture verses. It says, listen to my testimony. I cried to God in my distress, and he answered me. That alone blows my mind. I cried to God in my distress, and he answered me. I think about that scripture verse, who is man that you are mindful of him? But the word of God says, I cried to God in my distress, and he answered me. And he freed me from all my fears. All my fear. How does that read up there? He freed me. That's past tense. There's another English lesson. He freed me from all my fears. Did he free you from one or two fears? Did he free you from three or four fears? Did he free you from your fear of heights, but not your fear of, and I'm just throwing out examples, not your fear of snakes? No. No snakes in this church, I promise you that. So, he freed me from all of my fears. That's breakthrough, ladies. That's breakthrough, and that's what God wants us walking in. Breakthrough is part of God's purpose for you. It is part of God's destiny for you. It's what he has for you. Breakthrough, to live in it, live and move and have your being. But listen to me, he won't force himself on us. Number six, we must surrender. We must surrender to God. God, that word, I've been for myself this whole year. In the very beginning of the year, God started speaking that word to me, surrender. And I started hearing that word a lot, surrender. And the Holy Spirit started speaking to my heart that he's calling us, and I believe this for me and probably for many of you too, to a greater surrender than we've ever known in the past. He's calling us to a deeper surrender, a deeper place of surrender than we've ever known. We have to be intentional about allowing God to have his way in our lives. We have to be very intentional about it. Listen to me. Breakthrough comes when we're obedient. When we respond to God in obedience, breakthrough comes. When we respond to God, when we follow his lead, breakthrough comes. You know, maybe you need to forgive someone. Maybe someone has rejected you. Maybe someone's lied about you. Maybe somebody spoke all manner of evil against you. I've had people lie about me. I've had people make up stuff about me. I've had people just to say stupid stuff. I'm like, how does rumors like that even get started? I don't even know. I don't really even care. But my point is, you know, maybe God is speaking to you to forgive someone. And if you're obedient to that, if you're obedient to what God is speaking to your heart to do, you know, God has a purpose in that, because you know what it's going to do? Number one thing it's going to do is going to take you to a new level in God. When you respond to him in obedience, it's going to take you to a new level. And surrendering to what God is telling you is going to bring that breakthrough that you're looking for. It's going to bring that breakthrough. But if we refuse, then we stay stuck. If we refuse to forgive and we refuse to obey, we will never move beyond our willingness to obey. You want to get rid of some roadblocks? Obedience. You want to get rid of some more roadblocks? Forgiveness. We will never move beyond our willingness to forgive. Never move beyond our willingness to forgive. You know, when I was working on this message over the last few weeks, God spoke something to my heart that I'm going to share with you. And some of you are going to think it's ridiculous, and that's fine with me. You can think it's ridiculous. I don't care. But here's what God said. He said, tell them that I don't want my baby girls to stay stuck. I don't want my baby girls to stay stuck. I don't know if that means anything to any of you or not, but that meant a lot to me. That God would even call me his baby girl. That's the kind of love and intimacy that God has with us as his daughters, as his children, as women of God. Tell them I don't want my baby girls to stay stuck. Thank you, Lord. Number 7, and I'm almost done here. Get control of your thoughts. Y'all do realize, don't you, that normally when a preacher gets up to preach, they preach on all their junk. It's all the stuff God has had to do in them. So when you hear a preacher preach and they're preaching about whatever, like, for example, this about get control of your thoughts, you know why? You know why I can teach this? Because I've had to get control of my thoughts. I've had to bring my thoughts into subjection to Christ, into captivity. But we got to realize sometimes our thoughts are not our own. Sometimes our thoughts are not our own. Sometimes our thoughts have been planted by the enemy. But if we come into agreement with those thoughts, they will affect us negatively. Wrong thinking will hinder your breakthrough. Wrong thinking will mess you up. You will not walk in the breakthrough you're looking for with stinking thinking. Joyce Meyer used to always say that. You know, God is trying to tell us that we're fearfully and beautifully and wonderfully made in His image. And if you're like me, you get up in the mirror and you go, oh my God, look at the wrinkles. Look at the dark circles. My butt looks big. And, you know, we're like these jeans. Oh my gosh, I look like I've gained 20, you know. And we've got all this negative stuff coming out of our mouths all the time. How many of you can relate to that? Come on, let's be on. Come on. This whole section right here. Let's be honest. Hallelujah. But God is trying to tell us that we're fearfully and beautifully made in His image, and we just have a hard time receiving that. But see, that's why it's so important to come into agreement with what God says about us, because there is power in agreement. And whether you realize it or not, you are agreeing with something. Your thoughts and the words that come out of your mouth will either set you in agreement with the enemy or it will set you in agreement with God. But you cannot agree with both at the same time, because agreement with one puts you at odds with the other. That's the power that's in agreement. But see, we've got to begin to understand. Once you begin to understand, ladies, I'm 59 years old, and I feel like I'm just now starting to get a hold of this. But once you begin to understand how valuable you are, once you begin to understand your value as a woman of God, it begins to change. Something begins to change. And that's what God wants every single person in this room tonight to begin to understand, is their value. You are valuable. He loves you with an everlasting love. You are valuable to Him. Don't ever, ever forget that. Once you begin to understand that He's placed gifts and callings on the inside of you, He's placed anointings upon you that nobody else can walk in. They're unique to you, unique to your personality. That's the God that we serve. And that begins, when we begin to understand our value in Him, it begins to lead us to that place of breakthrough. You listen, because I'm not talking about just a bam, here's God. Those moments are awesome. I love it when God shows up like that. But more times than not, we have to learn to walk it out. More times than not. Because you know what's going on? When we're learning to walk it out, God's building character. God's bringing us to a place of integrity. Does all that make sense? And that's what God wants to do in our lives. Can I have a couple more minutes? I just want to encourage you to not let the lies of the enemy disqualify you before you even get started. It would be so easy. It would be easy for me. It would be easy for me to just quit. I mean, honestly, I'm just being honest. Just be like, eh, what difference does it make? That's how you feel sometimes. But see, that's a lie of the enemy. That's a lie of the devil. And thinking like that will disqualify me for the purposes and plans of God, that God has upon my life. And I truly believe in the days and the weeks to come, some of you are going to get such a powerful breakthrough, and it's going to include a fresh revelation of Jesus. It's going to include a fresh revelation of who you are in Him. It's going to include a revelation of His love for you. It's going to include a revelation of your value to Him. It's going to include a revelation of every single thing that we've talked about tonight. Every single thing. And what's going to happen is you're going to begin to live out of your spirit man. You're going to crucify the flesh, and when you do, you're going to a whole new level in God. And I believe that's for somebody in this room, probably for several of you, many of you. God wants to take you to a new level in Him. Amen. How many want to go along for the ride? Be pursuers of His presence. Number 8, you have to be pursuing God. Every single scripture that we've read tonight deals with God answering the cries of His people. God, I don't know anywhere in scripture do you see where God came and delivered and rescued a silent people. But we see all through scripture, he came to and rescued people who were pursuing Him, who were seeking Him, who were going after Him. People who are oblivious to the presence of God, people who are lukewarm in their walk with God, to, you know, at the very best lukewarm, are probably not going to get the breakthrough they need. But if you go after Him, if you pursue Him, if you press into Him, you're not only are you going to get that breakthrough, but like we said earlier, your breakthrough becomes a breakthrough for somebody else. Can I go ahead and get the worship team to come up, please? Last and certainly not least, our worship brings breakthrough. We sang a song about breakthrough tonight. Your praise will lead the way to your breakthrough. There's a story in Judges 20 that talks about Israel going to battle against the tribe of Benjamin. And it says they sought the Lord about this, and He said, go fight them, but send Judah up first. Now, another English lesson. Judah, the name Judah, the word Judah means praise. So they were saying, yes, go fight your battle, but send Judah first. Send your praise out first. And see, what happens when we send our praise out first is it prepares the atmosphere for God to come. The presence of God, we've already said, the presence of God brings light. The presence of God, and see, the enemy can only function and he can only operate in our lives under a cover of darkness. Once light comes, the enemy can no longer function and operate in that area once light comes. And in addition to this, and I want you to hear this, in addition to this, and then I'm going to close. Judah, which means praise, had a son named Perez, which means breakthrough. And in the natural, Judah planted the seed. In the natural now, Judah was Perez's daddy. Judah planted the seed that gave birth to Perez. So just as Judah planted the seed that gave birth to Perez, so our praise plants the seed that gives birth to our breakthrough. Our praise leads the way. And it's not about the songs we sing. True worship is a lifestyle. It's having a heart of thanksgiving, a heart of gratitude, an attitude of just thanksgiving and just having a thankful heart. And our worship, intimacy with God through worship, is a key that will unlock the door to our breakthrough. Listen, I know I've given you a lot tonight. I've said a lot. I've been up here for a long time. And I hope you're all still with me. I hope nobody... There was a story in the Bible where they were on the third floor and Paul preached for so long, the kid fell out the window three stories down and Paul had to go out there and raise him from the dead. I don't know if y'all know that story or not, but it's in there. I'm not going to preach enough for anybody to fall out a third-story window, I promise. But we have to understand that our worship unleashes something powerful in the life of a believer. Darkness flees and light comes. That's breakthrough. Deception flees and truth comes. Truth is revealed. That's breakthrough. Worship brings breakthrough. It defeats the enemy. Y'all can go ahead and play. Go ahead and play. Go ahead and play something. It defeats the enemy. And it's one of the most significant things we can do as believers is to worship our King, worship our God. Strongholds come down, bondages are broken, and breakthrough comes. through worship. It's a seriously powerful weapon in the hands of God. And I'm not saying that this is like a step-by-step religious formula. Oh, she gave us this nice little religious formula. If I apply all of these steps to my life, bam, I'm going to walk in breakthrough. But what I am saying, I'm not saying that, but what I am saying is applying these principles to your walk with God. It will bring you, it will help applying them in your walk with God. Coming under submission to the will of God for your life will bring you to a place of breakthrough. It'll bring your heart into agreement with God. It'll bring your heart into alignment with God and with the will of God for your life, and it will position you to receive what God has for you. Because sometimes, how many of you know, it's not that God is not moving, because God is moving. He's God. He's moving, and He loves His people. It's not that God is not moving. It's that sometimes we're not in a position to receive. And God wants our hearts and our wills to come into that place where we are in that position that we can receive from God. We can know His heart and understand His ways. Could I get y'all to stand with me all over this room tonight? How many of you are still with me? Did I lose any of you? Did I lose you? I don't want to close out tonight without giving every single person in this room an opportunity to receive Jesus as their Lord. If you're here tonight, maybe you go to church, you know? Maybe you've prayed the prayer, God, you know, forgive me, I repent of my sins. Maybe you've done that, but maybe you're not really living for God. Maybe you're not, your heart is not quite there, and you know what, because we know when our heart is not right. We know it. But if that's you tonight and you want to receive, you want the benefits of knowing God, the benefits, and that's really a lot of what we talked about tonight is the benefits of knowing God, being in that relationship with God. If that's you tonight, please, if you don't mind, just bow your heads and close your eyes. I want to give people privacy. But if that's you tonight and you want God to come and live in your heart, would you just raise your hand? Nobody's going to see it but me. Nobody's looking around. I see that hand back there to my right. I see some hands. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Lord, we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. We thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Let's repeat this prayer after me. Everybody in this room, pray this prayer. Just very, very quickly and very briefly. Father God, we ask for your forgiveness. I come to you and I recognize that I am a sinner and I am in need of your grace. And I want you to, and I want you to come and live in my heart, that I can be in relationship with you. And I receive you into my life right now. I receive you into my heart right now. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. How many of you can say, I want these roadblocks moved out of my way? I want these obstacles that keep me from my destiny in God moved out of my way. If that's you, will you raise your hand? All over this room.